The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with the truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may go ahead and be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for children's time. You two want to come up? I have a book. Should I come back to you? Could I come back to you? Okay. I'll do that. Because I have a really nice book to share with you. It's called It's Mine. And it's a fable written by Leo Leoni. Can you see the pictures okay over my shoulder? Okay. In the middle of Rainbow Pond, there was a small island. Smooth pebbles lined its beaches, and it was covered with ferns and leafy weeds. On the island lived three quarrelsome frogs named Milton, Rupert, and Lydia. They quarreled and quibbled from dawn till dusk. Do you know what it means to quarrel and quibble? You probably never do that, right? Do you ever argue or fight or disagree with each other? Sometimes? Yeah, we all do sometimes, right? "Stay out of the pond," yelled Milton. "The water's mine." "Get off the island," shouted Rupert. "The earth is mine." "The air is mine," screamed Lydia as she leaped to catch a butterfly. And so it went. One day, a large toad appeared before them. "I live on the other side of the island," he said, "but I can hear you shouting, 'It's mine, it's mine, it's mine,' all day long. There is no peace because of your endless bickering. You can't go on like this." With that, the toad slowly turned around and hopped away through the woods. No sooner had he left than Milton ran off with a large worm. The others hopped after him. "Worms are for everybody," they cried. But Milton croaked defiantly, "Not this one. It's mine." Suddenly the sky darkened and a rumble of distant thunder circled the island. Rain filled the air and the water turned to mud. The island grew smaller and smaller and smaller as it was swallowed up by the rising flood. The frogs were scared. Desperately, they clung to the few slippery stones that still rose above the wild, dark water. But soon, those too began to disappear. There was only one rock left, and there the frogs huddled, trembling from cold and fright. But they felt better now that they were together, sharing the same fears and hopes. Little by little, the flood subsided, and the rain fell gently and then stopped altogether. But look, the large rock that had saved them was no rock at all. What was it? It's the toad, exactly. "You saved us," shouted the frogs when they recognized the toad. The next morning, the water had cleared. Sun rays chased silver minnows in the sandy bottom of the pond. Joyfully, the frogs jumped in, and side by side, they swam all around the island. Together, they leaped after the swarms of butterflies that filled the air. And later, when they rested in the weeds, they felt happy in a way that they had never been before. "Isn't it peaceful?" said Milton. "And isn't it beautiful?" said Rupert. "And you know what else?" said Lydia. "No, what?" the others said. "It's ours." So what lesson did those frogs have to learn? It's not really theirs exactly. It's kind of silly to say, "The earth is mine, the water's mine, the air is mine." Who created that earth, water, and air? God did, that's right. All of creation is God's, right? Yeah, it's not ours. God has given it to us to use and enjoy, just like these frogs used and enjoyed the pond and the weeds. But it's God's. God has given us it to share, right? Okay, let's pray. God, we thank you for the blessing of all of your creation. We pray that you would help us to share ourselves, share our lives, and be generous and kind to one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for letting me share that story with you. So I'm going to tell you a story about a little boy. This little boy really wanted $100. He wanted it so badly that he prayed about it for weeks and weeks and weeks. But nothing happened. So he decided that he would write God a letter to put that request in writing. When the post office received the letter addressed to God, USA, they weren't sure exactly what to do with it, so they sent it off to the president. The president was very impressed, touched, and quite amused by this letter he received from this young boy. So he instructed his secretary to send the boy $50. $50 would seem like a lot of money to a young boy. Little boy was absolutely delighted when he received the $50 in the mail. He immediately did what we teach our kids to do and sat down and wrote a thank you letter. Wrote a thank you note to God. It said, "Dear God, thank you very much for sending me the money. However, I noticed that for some reason you had to send it through Washington, D.C. And as usual, those devils took half of it." So that was kind of funny. So Benjamin Franklin said, "In this world, nothing is certain except for death and taxes." Exactly. Well, this morning we hear a story about the Pharisees and the Herodians coming to Jesus to ask him about taxes. Now, politically, really the only thing these two groups had in common was the fact that they didn't like Jesus. They both felt that he was a threat to their authority and the way of life that they were accustomed to. Now, if you remember, the Pharisees were the Jewish authorities. They were the Jewish leaders, the priests. And Jesus was always on them for how they interpreted the word of God and lived out their beliefs in their lives. The Herodians were the ones who represented the interests of King Herod. And King Herod was put in place by the Roman government who occupied the land. And Herod didn't represent the common people. He was put in place by the Roman government and did as they dictated to him. So these two very unlikely groups of people came together with a common desire to trap Jesus. But first, they flatter him. They flatter him, butter him up by speaking of his integrity, his commitment to truth and equality, his lack of concern for the opinions that others hold of him. So in other words, they set him up to fail and to fall hard. It was definitely a trap. So the question for him was short and to the point. They asked, is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Now, the tax that they were questioning about was the census tax. That was a per-person flat tax of a denarius. And the denarius, the value of the denarius was the usual daily wage for a common laborer. So the dilemma for Jesus is, if he answers yes, he could be perceived as being in conspiracy with Rome, and therefore maybe even justifying the Roman occupation and oppression of the Jews. Of course, this would be very unpopular among the Jewish people who followed Jesus, particularly the poor, who were especially burdened by this flat tax. On the other hand, if he answers no, he could be accused of and arrested for treason, for conspiracy, being a revolutionary against the Roman government, against King Herod. So definitely, this question was a trap. Yet he's very aware of what these, as he so-called hypocrites, are up to. So he asks for a coin, a denarius, the actual cost of this tax that was in question. And then when they produce a denarius, which it's interesting to note that although Jesus' pockets were empty, they had no problem coming up with this tax that was due. So they come up with this tax, and Jesus asks them, what is on this coin? And when they identify the emperor's face and title on the coin, Jesus then delivers the zinger, his punchline. He says, give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and give to God the things that are God's. So we're left wondering with this answer, what was Jesus saying? What did he mean? What does this mean for us? Does the emperor's image on the coin cause it to fall under the things that are the emperor's? Or is maybe Jesus subversively questioning whether there really is anything that falls outside of the things that are God's? As people of faith, we believe God created what? Everything. You know, like the story, the land, the air, the water, that God created us. Our story of faith begins in the beginning. At the very beginning, we proclaim that everything in all of creation is God's. So if everything is God's, if everything belongs to God, then everything that we have and everything that we are also belongs to God, right? Yet the reality is, we live lives that are constantly being tempted to forget this. We're bombarded with advertising that tells us, buy this and then you will truly be happy, or buy that and then you'll have everything you've ever wanted. You'd be successful, have a happy family. Life will be good. Even our good old strong Lutheran work ethic can sometimes betray us. I've worked hard to be who I am, to earn what I have. It's mine. I've worked hard for it. It's mine. Jesus held that coin in his hand, and he holds each and every one of our lives in his hand. And he asks, what is the inscription upon you? Whose image do you bear? Whose image do you bear? If you don't know, let me remind you. I will remind you of whose image you bear and what the inscription is upon you and upon your heart. You are a loved and forgiven child of God. You belong to God. Margie, you are a loved and forgiven child of God. Joyce, you belong to God. Liz, you are a loved and forgiven child of God. I'm glad you know. Amen, sister. Jan, you belong to God. Nelson, you are a loved and forgiven child of God. Bonnie, you belong to God. This is who we are. The Bible tells us that we were created in the image of God. Humanity, all of humanity, was created in the image of God. We don't belong to anyone else or anything else. All that we have, our time, our money, our possessions, all of who we are, our gifts, our talents, our interests, all of what we hope to be, our future, our goals, our dreams, all of who we are, all of what we have, all of what we hope to be, all of our lives belong to God. Because we belong to God. We belong to a God who loves us, a God who forgives us, a God who is always with us. And so today Jesus reminds us to give ourselves to God. Because we belong to this God. We are created in the image of this God to be loving and forgiving. To live in such a giving way that others remember that they are not alone. To live in such a gracious way that others know the truth that they too bear God's image. That God's love is inscribed in their hearts. Because when we live lives of love, forgiveness, and generosity, we not only offer our lives to God, but we also become God's offering to others. Thank you. Thank you for the generous and gracious way you share your lives. You offer your lives to God because you are God's offering to us. Amen.